Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Al Toria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
Oh, he's a wonder in my heart.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio. This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord in Senla and in Miss Lou.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
His house. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Get your Bibles and turn them open, if you will, to Isaiah chapter 43, and we're going verse 18 and 19 in your hearing. Isaiah 43, verses 18 and 19. Hallelujah is right. To God be the glory. This message is so relevant to the body of Christ, so relevant for us here today, now, where we are spiritually, where God wants us to be. And it's so important for us to not just hear this word as a familiar scripture, but to hear this word in the reality of its revelation. What is God really saying to you? And if you don't mind, if you got it in your Bibles, I want us to read together, if you don't mind, beginning now. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I want you to think with me as you look at these words and as we walk through these words. It's important. You can't leap forward while looking backwards. Just want you to keep this in your mind. You can't leap forward while looking backwards. Now, why is this so important? It's simple, it's elementary, but it is major in terms of understanding a principle of truth. People, especially of God, must understand that God is always going to do something that is worthy of his name with a forward, a present, or forward or futuristic view. The best of what God offers to us is never in the past. Amen. It's always now, or it's coming, or it's on the way. And so what's important to recognize is that many of us have missed our blessings because our blessings have shown up and we couldn't even recognize them because we were looking behind us. Now, one of the things that I want you to look at this text can be viewed in three ways. It can be viewed historically, as Isaiah deals with the historicity of the people of God and all that they've gone through and what they've dealt with in terms of their sin, their backslidden state, their captivity, etc., and their release. It can be dealt with prophetically because God speaks through Isaiah in so many prophetic utterances in this book. But then thirdly, it can be looked or viewed spiritually, which brings us to the revelation of where we are today, which includes both Jews and Gentiles, which says to us that God has, through this one book, made a way for us and brought us together. We now, who belong to Jesus Christ and have entered into relationship with God by way of Jesus Christ, have entered into this blessing and access so that we are also privileged as people of the living God. And so, having known that, we now share in as joint heirs with Christ in the blessings that was originally meant for the Jews. Amen. Now, one of the things that I think you need to understand about this text and the book of Isaiah. Isaiah has been called by many the mini Bible because it has 66 chapters correlating and corresponding with the 66 books. 39 chapters of Isaiah actually deal with the Old Testament prophecy and text. 27 of the chapters of Isaiah deal with the New Testament and the spiritual times in which we even now live and yet times to come. And so it is why I want to deal with the spirituality of this text for us today, so that we will deal with how relevant it is for us today, for the believer today. It's an Old Testament text. Is it talking to me? Yes, if you're spiritual. Yes, if you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, if you're a part of the family of God. And so that's important, because when we start off in verse 18, he says, "Remember ye not the former things." Remember ye, you not the former things. Now, there are two positions that this word puts us in the understanding of. You don't need to worry about the old problems, and you don't need to worry about the old progresses or the old plans of success, because a whole lot of us get caught up in the old successes and can never move on to the new successes. Some of us are caught up in the things that we've done, but not in the things that we're doing or shall do. Some of us are still living in old glory. You see, one of the things you've got to realize, neither your problems or your promotions, neither your issues or the things that you now delight in the past are relevant, nor are they worthy of the things that God has for you in the present and in the future. Those were all past. And so the problem is when we keep remembering the former things, we don't make room for the new things. You see, one of the problems with remembering the former things is the fact that we get caught up in how it used to be. How it used to be this and how we used to do that. Y'all remember how we used to? Yeah, oh, those were the good old days. Were they really the good old days? Or were they more simpler days? They were days that were less stressful, perhaps, to some degree. They were days that didn't require of us as much as today requires of us, because the Bible is clear when it says, to whom much is given, much is required. So it's a different world today than what you knew before. And so the reality is, while you're stressing and struggling and straining to make a new level path or place for yourself, it's much more easier to sit back in the annals of what used to be and waste valuable time that you could be going forward and sitting back and thinking about what was past glory, past strength, past victories, etc. Everything past. Then it says, neither consider the things of old. Again, here is the important thing that is important for you as a believer to understand. If you consider the things of old, then when do you consider the things of new? In other words, if you consider the things of old, then old is always going to be at the forefront of your thinking. The things that are old usually have much to do with things that have expired, that have used their usefulness, that's gone beyond what they are now presently capable of providing. So why consider the things that can't help you now? What you ought to be considering is what you need to do now. You can get excited about your grades, you know, in third grade, but you're in the ninth grade now, and you can't talk about you used to be an A student in third grade. That ain't gonna help you much now. You know, you can't talk about your past performances and consider, you know, well, back then I used to do such and such. Back then was back then. They are of no means of help and support today. Now, here's another reason that you have got to get your rear view right before you can get your focus right. You have got to be through with looking behind you. Always behind you. Everything, much is going on behind you. Listen, nothing behind you is better than what's before you. It may feel like it because you have not tapped into the newness that is awaiting you. And you are familiar with the things that you have accomplished. And that's one of the reasons why folk hold on to photographs and, you know, photographs when they used to have a whole head full of hair. And they used to have muscles that bulge instead of sag. And they used to, y'all getting quiet on me. And they used to have things that they could be proud of and glory in. But here is the reality. Why consider things of old? Because you can't do nothing about that. You used to be the big man on campus. Not so today. You used to have this, and used all of those things do not help you in the present. But more than anything else, they keep you from performing in the present and the future. Here's one of the problems. Most folk are not lost in the premiere of your past. Most times it's just you. Nobody gets excited about all that stuff back in the past but you. How many times have you gone to folk, I mean, and no matter how long you start talking to, they're going to start bringing up stuff from the past because that's where their glory is. They're going to show you some stuff they used to do, used to have this, that. After a while, you know, you get tired, and then you can tell them what they got, and then you start, then they start acting like they got attitude, like, you know, they showing you some revelation here. Well, listen to this, because the next point is, he says, behold, comes from the same primitive etymological root word we get binoculars from, which means to take something far away and bring up closely, to see this. Because remember, he's prophesying about things that would happen hundreds of years in the future. But he says, behold, focus in like it's happening today. I will do a new thing. A new thing. Now, God is saying to Isaiah that he's going to do a new thing. Now, why is this important? It's important to understand that God is making this declaration that he's going to do a new thing. A new thing how? Since nothing is new under the earth. New as in unprecedented. New as in uncommon, not to this level ever before, unseen, never before experienced. When he talks about new in this light, it is something that he's going to bring to pass on such a grand scale that it cannot be compared with anything else he's ever done. Now listen at this, because when he says, behold, focus in, I will do a new thing, God is saying it deserves your attention. God don't brag on a coming event if the event is not worth your looking at. And his word is simply laying out before us all of the wonderful things that God has for us in the present and in the future. And if you keep your mind in the past and on the things that you've lost and the things that you've missed, all the things, all the thoughts, all of the issues, all of the treasures, all of those things of the past, what you're missing is the greater that he has for you will not even have an opportunity to come to you because you're locked in the rear view. And so he says, focus in now. Get your mind right. Get your focus straight. Stop looking behind you. That's right. Yeah, that's right. So many of us believers today can't get blessed the way God wants us to because we're still whining and crying about what we've lost. We're whining and crying about who we lost. We're whining and crying about why we don't have this and why we don't have that. Forget about that. Maybe it's not good enough for you. God's got greater for you. God has better for you. God is saying your view is not lifted high enough to see what I have for you. Now listen to this. There are five things that he says in this 19th verse. The first one is that he's going to do a new thing, a new thing. Second thing is he says now, when he uses this word now, it shall spring forth. Listen, he's making clear that what he's going to do is providentially put in place and nothing and no one can stop it. In other words, he's got it on a time schedule. And at the right time, listen, when it is supposed to happen, it's going to happen whether they like it or not. You know, there's some folk who don't want to see you blessed, but there's some folk going to be surprised at when God blesses you and not bless them because you are providentially placed in his blessings. And that's going to spring forth. If you've ever seen a budding flower, you could be looking at it. And it appears to be dormant, doing nothing, just look like a little twig. And all of a sudden, boop, a little budding flower comes from nowhere. It springs forward like I'm on a schedule. I'm on a time schedule. I've got to be out by this time. And that's how God's blessings come to the people of God who recognize that. Why is that so important? Because when they recognize that it's providential, they stop worrying about what the enemy think he's going to do to block their blessings. Do you know Satan can't block your blessings when God has scheduled your blessing to come? There is nothing he can do, because that blessing will spring forth when God has ordained that blessing to spring forth. It's going to happen whether it's a good time in your life or a bad time. How many times have you been and you know you ain't been the best Christian you ought to be, but God ordained that blessing. He scheduled that blessing. And it might have been at the worst time you've been acting up, and yet God still lets it roll on its course, and boom, it opens up, and you're like, now I know there ain't nobody but God, because I don't deserve this blessing. Any witnesses in the house here? It springs forth. Listen, then he asked the question, shall ye not know it? Shall ye not know it? Shall I not know what? The Hebrew word no yada. Incidentally, have you ever heard somebody say, when you're talking, yeah, yada, 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 yada? That literally comes from a Hebrew word, which means I know, I know, I know, I know. And so when he says, shall ye not know, he's speaking about truth. Truth. I'm going to walk back through it again and show you something else before I close it out, because I'm almost through. Because this is too deep for you to shout on. I can tell by the way you're listening. So I'm going to explain it to try and help you. Listen at this. Shall ye not know it? You. See, you can't be responsible for everybody else knowing your blessings and everybody else celebrating you. You've got to know the truth for yourself and rejoice in the truth and allow the truth to rejoice in you. You've got to make a way and room for truth to have its work in your life. All right? Now look again at what he says. I will do what? Make a way in the wilderness. Well, historically, the reference is to, of course, the Jews when they came out of Egypt. And what traditionally should have been about a 40-day journey, they say, for the number of people they had with them, wind up taking 40 years. 40 years, not so much because they were lost in the wilderness, but because disobedience blinded them. Disobedience and disbelief. Disobedience and disbelief. You see, there is nothing more God desires than to be believed by his people. No greater pleasure than to be believed by his people. But there's no greater burden for him to be disbelieved by his people. So in other words, when you begin to realize here God is saying, and this is so important, I want you to read that part again. He says, and I will read that part in the wilderness again. No, take your time, go back. And I what? I will even make a way in the wilderness. Now let me help you understand this, because this is so important. Too many of us think that he's going to make a way out of the wilderness when he said, I will make a way in the wilderness. You see, part of your blessing is not coming out of the wilderness. Part of your blessing is him blessing you in the wilderness. What other folk cannot deal with, what other folk cannot survive, what other folk cannot handle, he makes it just right for you. He blesses you. Can I tell you, everybody that went in the wilderness didn't come out of the wilderness, but that was some folk in the wilderness he made a way for. I'm trying to tell somebody, listen, don't worry about coming out of the wilderness. Just worry about God making your way in the wilderness. And whenever you come out, it's going to be all right, because you'll be blessed in the wilderness as well as out of the wilderness. So many of us, what are you saying, preacher? So many of us can't enjoy being blessed until they come out a mess. God is trying to tell you, I'm going to help you to understand that I can bless you in and in the mess you in. I'm trying to teach some of you all, you're wasting too much valuable time waiting to get out of a storm when I can bless you in the midst of the storm. So many of you are waiting to wait till you get up and get out when I can bless you when you're down and you're in. You've got to learn he can make a way while you're still in your situation. Can I tell you, you take all the jar from the devil, because the devil is waiting on you to be wanting to get out of there, and because you're not getting out of there, you lose the focus of the joy that God himself is able to do, because you're thinking the only way God can really bless you is if he bring you out of this. Let me take you back in there with the three Hebrew boys again in the fiery furnace. He didn't bless them out of the fiery furnace. That testimony was he blessed them in the fiery furnace. How did he bless them? He made a way in it by showing up in it, fellowshipping with them, throwing a praise party in it, taking their struggles and all of their restraints off in it, taking all of the powers of the fire and making them of no moment while they were in it. And when God got ready to bring them out, it wasn't no different. They were having a good time in the fire, just like they had a good time when they came out the fire. Why are you postponing your good time? You can have a good time right in the midst of what you're going through. See, right now, that was a good shouting moment. Some of you missed it. You ain't got to wait till you get out of death to be able to rejoice. You don't have to wait until your situation turn around to be able to know God can make a way in that situation. If he gets the glory in it, you're going to get the goods in it. But if you got to get out of it before he can get his glory, then you're going to have that same reality for yourself. And then he says, here's the fifth thing. And rivers in the desert or the wasteland. Now, it's important to recognize they go from a wilderness to a desert experience. Historically, they had this kind of difficult terrain to master, the wilderness and the deserts, to get back to Jerusalem. So they had all of that that they had to come through, which was literally impossible to do, especially in great numbers, and especially if God was not on their side. And so now God is saying with them, I'm going to make rivers in the wastelands, in the desert places. Not only will you have an oasis where there's water every now and then, he says, but I'm going to create rivers, not one river, but rivers, multiple streams of water, multiple streams of sources. He says, I'm going to do this with you in the desert. It is mind-boggling to understand, and listen at this, my brothers and sisters, if you are child of God, and if you fight against the ills of the enemy, and you know about spiritual warfare, you know every now and then it gets dark and dry. You're in a dry place with God. You can't seem to feel him. You can't seem to experience, you know, his fellowship. You can't seem to feel his blessings flowing on. It just seemed to be a dry desert place. Well, what is he talking about spiritually? He's speaking about the Holy Spirit and his ability to create that living